I am.
What it says I am.
I can do. What it says I can do. Now, I want you to boldly declare this, not because I don't, when boldly, listen, boldly doesn't mean you have to be all loud. Boldly means with conviction. So say, I am a believer.
I am a believer.
And it's important. I know, just put it down for a minute. I know they're running the camera, but it's important sometimes that you boldly declare some things. You got it? Like if it's a situation, my marriage is getting better. Not, Lord, I just help me with my marriage. No, my marriage is getting better. My children are getting better. Isn't that right? Things are working for my good. You got it? All right. So now boldly declare, I am a believer.
I am a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I am a doer.
I am a doer.
Not just a hearer.
Just a hearer.
And my life,
is
the better,
is the better
after having heard, the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God. All right, Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the first verse, I'm going to jump right into it because I am super excited about starting this brand new series entitled Running with the Giants. The Bible teaches us that there are those that have gone on before us, and the Bible says that we follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. And so this lesson is all about looking and learning from those who have gone before us, because there's an actual translation that says that they're in the stands cheering for us. Now, in the KJV, in Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So there's so many that are gone before us that are cheering us on. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so, just my imagination, y'all know how I am with imaginations. You know, I just imagine that, you know, that all these people have gone before us and they're in, you know, they're already in heaven. They're in the stands. They're cheering us on. They have a little bit of a different perspective because now they're in heaven. You got it? And so, you know, their troubles and their trials and their challenges are all gone because they're in heaven now. And so the Bible says that they're cheering us on. So I said, what would it look like? Because now, have you ever been to a stadium, a stand, a stadium where something happened, something exploded, somebody took off for a touchdown, somebody had a fast break, you know, and the crowd went so crazy that you could hardly hear anybody around you. You could hardly hear yourself. You just heard noise all around you. You got it? Well, I've been into stadiums like that. Now, if you've never been to the stadium in Arlington, Texas for the Dallas Cowboys, that's one of those kind of stadiums. Okay, see, y'all didn't want me to talk about my Cowboys. That's okay. But we did beat the Saints, and nobody thought we would, all right? I just thought I'd kind of throw that out there. But let me stay real spiritual, all right? And so those guys that are on, that are playing in the game, what happens is the crowd is so loud that they don't know what the people are saying. They see people way up in the stands, and they're like, and they have no idea what they're saying. Hopefully they're saying, hey, you got it, yeah, you know, those kind of things. And so what would it look like if one of the giants of faith, because how many know the Bible says that we're in a race, right? And we're running this race. And so what would it look like if a giant, one of the greats of faith, was to come out of the stands and run one lap with you? What would they tell you? And that's why I'm so excited about this series. And so I wanted to start with one giant, and the Lord really has me starting with a different giant, and I really believe it's because there's some people here today that really need this. Now, don't get me wrong, everybody needs the word, but I just believe that there's some people that really need this specific one so much that the Lord would have me not teach on the other giant and teach on this giant. So the giant I want to teach about today is Joseph. Now, I love Joseph. And so if you, for some reason, don't know anything about Joseph, go back to your Sunday school days, and he's the guy that had the coat of many colors. Now, a lot of times we'll at least remember the coat of many colors. Now, Joseph's father really favored him. That's not Joseph's fault. You understand? Joseph was Jacob's 11th son. So Joseph was, now Jacob had 12 sons, but he was Jacob's 11th son. And Joseph was actually Abraham's great grandson. All right. Just kind of giving you a little backdrop. And so, Joseph was really favored by his dad. His brothers really did not like him because he had favor on his life. And so what happened was, Joseph got this dream. He shared it with his brothers, which probably, looking back, wasn't the best thing to do. They already hated him. And so anyways, his life took a completely different turn for 23 years. And have you ever been going through life and life, you know, was going the way you thought it was going to go, and then all of a sudden, like, there was a hiccup or, you know, a road bump, and you never thought you would be where you are? And so I want to talk to you about what would Joseph tell you if you're in that situation. Let's pick it up at Genesis, the 37th chapter, starting at the 5th verse. It says, and just so you know, I'm going to read Genesis 37, verses 5 through 7, and then we'll drop down to 19 and 20. Of the story of Joseph, it takes place in Genesis. Almost half of the book of Genesis is about Joseph. So there's no way I could share this with you in 28 minutes of time. But what I would hope that you would do is, after I talk to you about every giant, that you would go back and read the story. Amen? All right. Verse 5 says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they did what? Hated him all the more. So the writer says they already hated him, but they hated him all the more. He said unto them, hey guys, listen, I had this incredible dream. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed to mine. Isn't that an amazing dream? So you kind of see how they were pretty upset with Joseph, right? Okay, so now a little bit later, fast forward, they're in the field, the brothers are working, Joseph is all of a sudden coming, and they see him afar off. As they see him afar off, you know, they start talking about him, and they had some pretty interesting things to say. Let's drop down to verse 19. He says, here comes that dreamer. Sounds like things people have said about me in my day. I don't know about you. He says, here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns. A cistern was just really a big pit. That's all that was. And say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Now, that's pretty intense. I mean, I know he's daddy's favorite, but that's pretty intense. You got it? And so I said, what if we could pull Joseph out of the stands? What would he say? I believe with all my heart that if we could pull Joseph out of the stands for him to take a lap with you, I believe that he'd say a lot of things, but I believe that in one swell swoop, initially, he would tell you that when life isn't turning out the way you plan, don't give up on your dreams. I believe that that's what he would tell you. That's what we're going to talk about. When life doesn't turn out the way you thought it was, don't give up on your dreams. Now, when you look at what's on the screen, don't give up on your dreams. Really, there's two subjects there. If you really pay attention, dreams is a subject of its own. And I'm not really going to talk about dreams today. I really want to talk about the first three words. So with a strong voice, on the count of three, I want you to say those first three words. Are y'all ready? Here we go. One, two, three. All right, don't give up. And now don't say it to your neighbor. Just kind of look at your neighbor. Just like, don't give up. Just look at your other neighbor. All right, okay, all right. So I believe that Joseph would say, don't give up. Like, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, don't give up. Like, I've been there. I've done that. I don't have the T-shirt for it. I have the sweatshirt for it. You understand? Like, don't give up on your dreams. I know that sometimes you hit roadblocks. I know sometimes it's because you made a mistake. I know sometimes it's because of something someone did to you. But regardless of what comes or what goes, don't give up. Remember, weapons may form, but they will not prosper. You might bend, but you will not break. Those three words, one more time, one, two, three, don't give up. All right? So I believe that Joseph wouldn't stop there because I believe that these giants had to be teachers. You got it? They were like me. That they didn't just want to tell you one thing. They had points behind what they wanted to tell you. You got it? And so I believe that the first thing he would tell you is don't give up on your dreams, even if it didn't start off well, even if you didn't start off well. Even if you didn't start up well, don't give up on your dreams. And so, you know, I begin to really think about that. And I've had some times in my life where I went to either start a business or do something. And I didn't really start off the way that I wanted to. You got it? And one thing I'm so thankful of is that he is the God. Sometimes we say of a second chance. But how many know that most of us are past second chances? Because he's given us second chances. You got it? 20-second chances. And 30-second chance. So because brand new days bring us brand new mercies. And I don't know about you, but when I woke up, the thing that I was especially excited about was not only did he give me life, health, and strength, but he gave me a brand new day with brand new mercies, right? And so I'd like to say he's the God of another chance. And so Paul begins to talk about that in the book of 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 12 and 13. And Paul says, hey, listen, you can't give up. Like Joseph is telling you, he says, because things didn't start off so well for me. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. Given me what? Strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. even though I was once a, watch this, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. I mean, Paul, we look at him, and now we're like, man, he wrote over half of the New Testament. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's a bad man, you understand? But he was also the one that was persecuting the Christians. Remember when Stephen was stoned? He was the one to say, yep, it's high noon, go ahead and get him. You understand? Like, he was that guy. And he even talks about it. He says, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was a violent man. He said, but watch this. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and in unbelief. And let me tell you how I feel about that. Let me talk to you about how I feel about people that mess up. Let me tell you how I feel about people that have made mistakes. Let me tell you how I feel about people that were, you know, in jail and then they got out of jail. And now they come to our church and they have, they have felonies. And let me tell you how I feel about people that have messed up in life. The first thing I feel is that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the first thing about it. You got it? And let me tell you another thing that I really believe. I've always believed this. I believe in my heart that most people really want to do the right thing. Even sometime when we mess up, even sometime when we do wrong, I really believe that most of the time we really want to do the right thing. And then Paul shows you in the scripture. He says, listen, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. He said, I didn't know what I was doing. And a lot of times, how many know when we mess up, we didn't really know what we were doing. You got it? And so we thank God that he's the God of another chance. That's why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind you, and you have to press forward. Because how many know, okay, besides me, I'll put both hands up because I've messed up a whole lot of times in my life. How many in the room have messed up besides Pastor? Everybody in the room, right? Because if you didn't raise your hand, how many have a problem with lying? All right? So anyways, how many know the devil will always try to remind you of your past sins, your past mistakes? Those, even though we know that the blood of Jesus has already covered it, the blood of Jesus has already taken care of it, the devil has this, this way of always bringing up old stuff. You got it? Like, you know what? What do you mean? What you did and how you acted and all those kind of things. There was a story told of a guy that went into a pet store, and he was just going around to look at the different pets and, different animals and those kind of things. And there was a big parrot sitting up there. And the parrot says, hey, you. And the man looked at him and says, are you talking to me? He says, yeah, hey, you, come over here. So the man just walks over to him. And the parrot looks at him and says, you are the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. So now the man was like, okay, now that's not funny. You understand? Like, so he goes to the owner of the store and says, hey, listen, you need to talk to your parrot because your parrot just said something that was very offensive to me. And so he told him what happened. So he goes over to the parrot, kind of just pops him on the beak and says, hey, don't you talk to my customers like that. You got it? And so, it's all over. A couple months later, the man comes back into the store. He likes this store. He's looking around for stuff. He's going to get him some new fish for his tank. And there's the parrot again. And the parrot says, hey, you. And the guy's like, are you talking to me? He's like, hey, you, yeah, come over here. So he walks over, and he looks at him, and he looks over at the owner, and he says, you know what? And isn't that how the devil is sometimes? You got it? He always tries to remind you of your past. You know what you did. You know how you acted. You know God gave you another chance, and even after he gave you another chance, you did it again. And it seemed like God gave you another chance, didn't he? Yeah. See, it's funny how the devil can remember everything that's going on, but some kind of way, he must not remember his future because the lake of fire is exactly where he's going. And so I read a t-shirt years ago that said, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. You got it? And so, watch this. This is why the writer says, okay, this is what I love about God. So what happens is, I'm so glad that we serve a God of grace and a God of mercy. Now, am I saying it right? The little thing that you had, was it called Etch-a-Sketch? Yeah. Am I saying it the right way? Etch-a-Sketch. Does anybody remember an Etch-a-Sketch? See, an Etch-a-Sketch was, no matter what was on it, if you shake it, it was just gone. Well, that is how the blood of Jesus is for you and me. It has covered everything. So I've got sin, I've got insecurity, I've got depression, I did some really, really bad things I don't want anyone to know about. And because of the blood of Jesus, Jesus just says... And so every time the devil tries to remind you of something, you just got to go grab something, just shake it and let him know, watch this, it's already been taken care of. He's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more, and that's a good place to give the Lord a big hand praise. I mean, and like, you got to be bold about that stuff. Like, because sometimes the enemy will work on you overtime. Then that's why the Bible says you have to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because sometimes it can be a full-time job because the enemy is launching an all-out attack against you. I mean, you know, it's funny. How many know the devil just didn't give you one thought, but he gives you one thought after another thought after another thought? So, you know, I don't care if you are in Walmart. If it gets to the point where he's bombarding you, you start declaring the blood of Jesus. Go grab you some orange juice and just shake that orange juice. So this is why the writer says, let us run with patience. Everybody say patience. He says, let us run with patience. Why? Because life happens. People make mistakes. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I've given you a definition all my years through patience. I've actually added to this definition over the weekend. I've always told you that patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy, right? So I'm adding to this. Patience is not only the ability to handle delay and remain in joy, but it is the force of consistency causing you to remain constant and always the same. Everybody say constant and always the same. In other words, don't change your attitude, your expression, or confession in the good times, even when bad times show up. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if I'm happy and bad times show up, I'm still going to be happy. If I was confessing that the joy of the Lord is my strength and he's a great God and greatly to be praised, even when bad times show up, he's still a great God and greatly to be praised. All right. And so, all right. So, man, this is good. Okay. So we said that he would tell us, number one, don't give up on your dreams, even if you didn't start off well. Number two, everybody say number two. Y'all getting blessed? Okay. That means I can keep going. All right. Number two, don't give up on your dreams, even if those closest don't support you. Even if those closest don't support you. Because how many know we have all been through things in our lives where you were believing for something, you know, you were trying to make something happen in life, and, you know, have you, you know, ever been in a situation in life where you thought, you know, even if nobody else support me, this group of people are going to support me. Even if nobody else looks out for me, this group of people is going to look out for me. And, you know, newsflash that in life there are some journeys that you take, everybody's not going to go down that road with you. You got it? But thanks be unto God that you have a friend in Jesus that's never going to leave you, that's never going to forsake you, and he's going to be with you until the end. Listen, they did it to Joseph. Not only did they do it to Joseph, they did it to Jesus. You got it? Mark the 6th chapter, verses 3 and 4, you know, they started, you know, they knew who Jesus was. And I think sometimes that's the problem. He says, isn't this the carpenter? Because, you know, Jesus is going around saying, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of the living God. He's going around preaching the kingdom of God. And then they're like, wait a minute, hold on. Ain't this Joseph and Mary's boy? And the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, aren't his sisters here with us working in the mill? I mean, if he's the Son of God, why are they with us working in the mill? I mean, and the Bible says, and they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is without honor except in his own town among his own relatives. Now, listen, I really wish, and y'all just going to have to help Pastor for number two because I'm about to go to number three in a minute. I really wish I had something real spiritual for you on this one. You got it? I really wish I had something that would just give you a deep revelation of how, you know, people can just change their mind about you and walk out of your life and those kind of things. But the only thing I can tell you is that if people can walk out of your life, let them walk. Now, see, you didn't hear what I said. If people can walk out of your life, let them walk. Is anybody besides me, you got to the point where you said, man, I'm too old to be fooling around with people that don't want to fool around with me. So I'm not being mean. I'm not being hateful. I want you to be with me. I love you. I want you to love me. But I told my wife, I said, I'm just to the point. If people don't love me, there's nothing I can do about it. You got it? So I'm going to love people. I'm going to do what the Bible tells me. I'm not going to do anything wrong. You got it? But if people can walk out of your life, like my little girl says, deuces. Okay, now we'll get spiritual again. No, because let me help you. Let me help you. Because why would you chase somebody that don't want to fool with you no ways? So don't spend any more of your strength or your energy trying to call somebody that don't want to talk to you, trying to take out somebody to lunch that don't want to have anything to do with you. If people can walk out of your life, let them walk. All right, number three. Let's rehearse them. So number one, we said don't give up on your dreams. Joseph would say, even if you didn't start well. Number two, he'd say, even if those closest don't support you. And then number three, even if your journey is full of surprises. And how many know that most of our journeys are full of surprises? Anybody besides me ever been at a place in my life say, ooh, I never thought I'd be at this point in my life? You got it? And so, but even being at that point in your life, how many know that God is still a faithful God? He's still a gracious God, and he's still a God of mercy, right? And so, now, as I read the greats of faith, one thing I learned is that my situation is not as bad as some others. You got it? And so I think that sometimes it helps us to get the right perspective. Let me take you through a journey on Joseph's life. Number one, he was misunderstood by his family. That's bad all by itself. Then number two, to make it worse, he was sold into slavery to Potiphar. All right. Then number three, he lived in a strange country far from home. Now, I mean, like, nobody likes to be far from home. You understand? Like, everybody likes to be close. Well, most everybody likes to be close to home. All right. We'll leave that one alone. And after that, okay, thank God, he was given favor in Potiphar's house. Okay, so praise God. You know, this working out. All right. Next part of his journey, unfortunately, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. So you got this good looking, you know, handsome young man, kind of like your pastor, you got it, that was going around. Why are y'all laughing? The 9 o'clock laugh. I mean, like, anyway, so you got this good, I still feel good about me. I say it with boldness. So you got this good looking young man, kind of like, you know, your pastor that's walking around, and he's like the chief executive. He's handling things at Potiphar's house, and then all of a sudden Potiphar's wife sees him, you got it, and gives him googly eyes. Do y'all know what googly eyes are? Oh, y'all looked at me like y'all were spiritual, all right? And so she's flirting with Joseph, but Joseph, he ain't having nothing to do with that. You understand what I'm saying? First of all, Joseph's saying, I need to honor God, number one, and I need to honor Potiphar, number two. You got it? Because I've finally gotten to a good place. So, you know, she was like, you know, my forwardness, my passes aren't working, so I'm just going to go snatch him up. And she went and snatched up Joseph. You got it. And Joseph, it was like me when I was, you know, in the Marine Corps, and the first time, I was talking to this girl, she started talking to me. My body started shaking like this. And so that's a true story. I think it was a defense mechanism God gave me. You got it? Because once I met Lady, I was not shaking no more. But anyways, praise the Lord. All right. All right. And this past, what was it, Wednesday? Wednesday, we celebrated 20 years of marriage. So she grabs him, and he gets out of his coat and takes off. If you ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, he ran, Joseph ran. All right? And unfortunately, he was put, watch this, he was thrown back into prison. But watch how favor shows up again. He was put in charge of the prisoners, and then the chief cupbearer says, I've got this dream. Joseph interprets the dream, right? And then the cupbearer says, what do you want? He says, when you get out of here, remember me. The cupbearer gets out and forgot about Joseph, has to stay in prison a little over two more years. And then they find Pharaoh has a dream. They said, nah, this is a kid named Joseph. He'll interpret it. He interprets his dream, and then he became second in command in Egypt. So when you look at that, he had a lot of ups and downs. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. Through his journey, one of the things that I noticed, he always had favor that would show up in his life along the way. And that's a sign that even when you're going through a tough time, it doesn't mean that God's favor will not show up in your life. Even if it's a tough time because you made a bad mistake, God's favor will still show up in your life because he's a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. Hunt your neighbor. Say, you getting this? You getting this? Hunt your neighbor. Or hunt your other neighbor. I don't know why that's your second choice, but hunt your second choice and ask him, are you getting this? All right. So life is full of surprises. Some things you did sign up for, some things you didn't sign up for. Let me tell you the key. The key in life is learning to enjoy the journey. All right. That's the bottom line. Learning to enjoy the journey. As a kid, I remember we would go on long road trips. Anybody remember road trip? Like, we didn't fly. We didn't have that kind of money. You understand? You got it. We about didn't have money for gas to get to where we were going. You understand? So we always took road trips. I remember when my sister, Minister Debbie, was going to Rhema Bible Training Center. She was going to Bible college. She was going to Bible school. And we drove her from North Carolina all the way to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, just let me help you. It takes like a couple days to get there. All right. And so not to mention, I don't even know how many of us were in the back seat. There's a lot of us, but it was a whole bunch of us in the back seat. You got it. And, you know, in my family, you know, we all have issues. So you got it. And I've told you, I've got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, That's your issue. Okay, y'all got it, right? And so, you know, and some of our siblings had more issues than others. Like when we're in the backseat, I don't want you to touch me. I want some space. There's five of us in this little car in the backseat. Like, we're going to probably touch somebody. You got it? And then, you know, we would lay, you know, somebody would fall asleep. So if they fell asleep, I would lay my head on their shoulder. You got it? So I could, like, fall asleep too. And I'd fall asleep, like, get off of me. You understand? Just those kind of things. You know, and I'm not saying who it is because I wouldn't talk about people that are not here. But anyways. But my sister, Vicky, she listens to all my podcasts. So I love you, sis. She won't be mad. She knows I'm just playing. All right. And so, but what we did to make the trip go better is we learned how to enjoy the journey. We played games in the cars along the way. Does anybody remember Punch Buggy Red, No Punchbacks? Yeah, all right. How about I Spy? Yeah, I Spy. Now, this one is only when you're going through rural areas. Going to Oklahoma, we went through some rural areas. So what if my brother was on the right side and I was on the left side, he would count as many cows as he could. I would count as many cows as I could. And whoever had the most cows, by the time we got to whatever point we said, you know, that's the person, you know, that won. And then I think the biggest excitement that we had was our dad had taught us as little kids, when truck drivers come, if you go like that, they may blow the horn. And I remember we'd always be doing that day drive by. They look down, they just keep on driving. But every once in a while, a guy would look down and he'd be nice enough and go, honk, honk. We're like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So even though it was a long trip, even though it was a boring trip, even though we didn't have money to, you know, stop and stay in fancy hotels and those kind of things, we learned to enjoy the journey along the way. And I think in life, you got to learn how to enjoy the journey along the way. It's okay to smile and have joy when all craziness is still going on in your life. You got it? Because the joy of the Lord is our very strength. So don't let anybody steal your joy. Don't let anybody steal your smile. Don't let anybody take that pep out of your step. My thing is this. If I'm going through something, you'll never know, because I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to keep a smile on my face, and I'm going to keep going because I believe that God is going to bring me through. Does that make sense? All right, so we did, let's rehearse them real quick. Don't give up on your dreams. Number one, even if you didn't start off well. Number two, even if those closest to you don't support you. Number three, even if the journey is full of surprises. And my last one, I'm closing, even number four, if it takes a long time to realize it. Yes, even if it takes a long time to realize it. Let's get out of here, Courtney. Habakkuk 2:3. All right, for my first-time guest, when I say let's get out of here, Courtney, I'm not going to exit stage left. That means she's going to play something very metacritically. All right, Habakkuk 2:3. Watch this. Somebody thought that was funny. Somebody give that person a free CD, please. All right, these things, now everybody wants to laugh. These things I plan won't happen right away. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. That's like not my most favorite scripture. That's not the one that I put, you know, on the refrigerator or on my screen. Bless God, these things that you know, I plan won't happen right away. That's not my most favorite, but it's still the word of God. But watch this, because it gets better. Everybody say it gets better. Watch what he says. He says, but slowly, steadily, and surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, he says, don't despair. Don't give up. For things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. That's the key. They will not be overdue a single day. And so this is what I think. I think Joseph would pretty much be done, because now we're all the way around to the end of the lap, and now Joseph has to head back into the stands. And Joseph was probably like me. He's like, I got to go, but let me tell you something else real quick. He says, let me tell you three things real quick. He says, number one, as he's walking away, focus on what happens in you and not to you. And in life, you got to learn how to focus what happens in you and not to you. That everything I go through, you got it, I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm developing it, and God's bringing me to a place of strength, and he's bringing me to a place of maturity. So everything I go through, he's helping me, and I learn something from it. I think number two, he would tell you that your response to offense determines your future. You know, I could see Joseph being real upset with his brothers, because 23 years he had to go through hell just because they didn't like him. So now, I didn't tell you the whole thing about the dream. So what happens is, Yeah, let me just tell you. Let me just walk you through it. So what happens is Pharaoh, needs a dream interpreted. He interprets the dream, and then he begins to tell him. He says, there's going to be a famine. We need to save up. And if we save up, you got everything. People are going to run out, and they're all going to come to us, and we're going to be really, really rich because we'll be able to sell it to them. And what Joseph said happened, and it worked. So now Joseph is there in all, I like to call it his Pharaoh gear. I don't know exactly what he had, but I'm sure he had the big hat and, you know, all the stuff. And then he's up there, and people are coming, and Joseph's brothers are coming from Egypt to buy grain because there's a famine. And so now Joseph sees them, and he notices them. Remember what Joseph tells him. He says, your response to offense determines your future. So now Joseph had to get their attention because that don't look like my brother. You understand? That looks like, you know, somebody big. You got it? And so they noticed it was Joseph, and immediately the brother said, don't kill us. I said, at least they said the right thing. And Joseph had the best perspective. Watch what he says in Genesis 50 and 20. He said, don't even worry about it. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Your vindication never comes from the hurt or the harm of other people. So when people do you wrong, don't worry about doing the wrong back. So, because God's a merciful God. And even though they did you wrong, he wants to forgive them too. So your vindication never comes from the hurt or the harm of others. Watch this. But, everybody say but. That's a big but. But God will allow them to live long enough to see you prosper. God will allow, you know, people that lied on you and turned their back on you, say you'll never be anything, and you know, they counted you out when you were all the way down. Don't worry, don't fight those people back. Forgive them. You got it? Love them. Leave them alone. That's what I tell people. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean that I have to go to lunch with you every day. But forgiveness does mean that I have to clear my heart. And me forgiving you is not so much about you as much as it is about me. So I'm not only releasing you, but I'm also releasing me, because I can't let bitterness build up on the inside of me. Why can't I let bitterness build up on the inside of me? Because God's got big plans for me. And the devil would love nothing but to keep me in my past. All right. I got to go. And then number three, this is what he would tell you. Last one. Every dream has tough times, but remember, God is always with you. And can I just give you some scripture real quick just to push that point? And then we'll go home. All right. One of y'all said yes. Can I give y'all some scripture real quick? Okay. I was going to give it to you anyways. Oh, I'm doing good. Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Now, the Bible says trouble, but you know, coming up in church, we said in time of trouble. Isaiah 43 and 2 says, when you pass through the water, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Jeremiah 1 and 8, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 1 and 19, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Hebrews 13 and 5 in the Amplified, part B, says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you. He says, I won't let you down. I won't relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. What a promise. That no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, we serve a God that's never going to leave us, and he's going to be with us till the end. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building.